There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is chisme ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diamond.
And this is Talk Art.
Welcome to Talk Art.
How are you, Rob?
I am feeling like I am bathed in incredible colour.
Oh.
And it's resonating all around me. That's the only
word
that. I can
see it.
You can see it, can't
it's you? Like an aura around you.
It is, but it feels like the colours are vibrating around me.
Wow.
And this is the most extraordinary exhibition because today we have a Talk Art exclusive.
Exclusive.
We are in central London. I've actually come up from Margate just to do this.
Yes.
And we are in Covent Garden, kind of central London. How do you describe this area, Russ? Like Piccadilly kind of
area.
It's
off Piccadilly. It's on Heddon Street.
Heddon Street.
And it's upstairs, one floor from the street below. And I think I remember as a kid going to a club here called Strawberry Moons.
Really?
Moons ago.
Is it
still there?
I don't know.
I think it's called the Tank and Paddle now.
Really?
Yeah, that was my childhood.
And this is also a street where Sadie Coles used to have her gallery.
And
today we're at another leading female gallerist who is a pioneer, Pippi Holdsworth.
Mm-hmm.
And she recently actually showed another guest we had, Cassie Nomoda's work, I think last year.
Yep.
And this year, I think this is one of the best shows I've seen. I mean,
yep.
It's extraordinary. And we spent the last hour sat in here, and the longer I've spent in this room, like sitting in here, they've kind of revealed themselves.
Totally
the paintings
themselves.
Have kind of, they feel alive and they constantly are evolving. And I'm just so excited.
So our guest is a painter, obviously.
Our guest is a painter, and I'm going to introduce her now. But we would like to welcome to Talk Art,
Jade Fadugitomy.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Yes. This is like weird because you guys have been in my studio.
Really?
Like, yeah, I've been listening to your podcast over
have
lockdown.
You?
Yeah.
So you listen to music, I've researched as well, when you make your paintings. So our podcast as well, you've been making paintings with.
Yeah, well,
so
I
could there be
say
some
I
of
make...
us in these paintings,
well,
basically?
Lockdown did something strange. I think the music I listen to is so dramatic that it can be a bit overwhelming.
Like
to
what?
Kind of. I listen to a lot of soundtracks, but the more dramatic end
yes.
of soundtrack.
Like what, like Thomas Newman
or
like John Williams,
exactly.
The Harry Potter.
Yes, it's my favourite.
The
like,
Harry Potter
genre,
one.
Yeah.
So
music.
Cool.
Do you like Philip Glass?
Yes, I love Philip Glass. I also listen to quite a few anime soundtracks, game soundtracks.
Oh, wow.
So it's a spectrum. It's a spectrum.
It's dramatic.
Yeah, they make me cry, but... No, in a good way. Crying's
right.
good. No?
Yeah, crying is good.
I think it's really good.
Yeah, I think it's really good. But, you know, for lockdown and how everything's been a bit more intense, I just had to break it up a bit, you know, with some podcasts
and
your lovely
us.
Voices.
Yeah. We broke up your lockdown.
And this show that we're stood in, you actually made during lockdown.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The whole thing.
All of these shows, yeah. Mm-hmm. All of these works, sorry, yeah.
And we've just been given a PDF, and the works that we're seeing are only half of the works you made.
I made quite a few works during lockdown they're all very different. I wouldn't even know how to describe them to you. But have you seen images? Maybe.
On this PDF. I've only seen the images. Okay. But you say that they're all very different, but you have a commonality in your language, which the more you get to know your practice and your work, you can spot when it's a Jade piece.
Oh, thank you.
You can see that yourself. Can you see your motifs that are going through them?
I see myself in my work, but I think that I'm constantly fluctuating and changing as a person, which I think is why, to me, they all seem so different from one another. Mm. Maybe. Mm-mm. Theory?
I agree, yeah. But so, talking about you, so they are autobiographical, and we're looking at abstract paintings that aren't on the surface figurative, but yet there is such an energy of the figure within these scapes. These don't contain, on the surface, figures, but these are a very figurative-based abstract practice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do see all painting, but mine particularly as on a spectrum. So if abstraction's on one end, figurative is on the other, then they all sit somewhere in between. So some can feel more abstract than others, some reveal more than others. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think for me as well is the elements of nature. And this work was weirdly the one that I didn't sort of see when I first walked in the room, whereas I think it was Russell's first connection. So for him, he connected with that. But when I walked in the room, it was the white painting there of the kind of face, like
with
a figure.
With the neck and the chin.
Yeah, and that was the one that I was looking at. So for some reason, my eye didn't go on this one. Mm. And then the longer we were sitting in the room, this deep purple, I'll post an image on Instagram, but it just started to literally talk to me. It's like it's moving or something, like it's like it's alive. And there's something about nature within it, which started to really kind of reveal itself the longer I was looking at it, kind of like flowers or, I don't know, they're not actually there, I don't even think. It's like kind of an
association. Well, I know, I disagree. I think they are there. I feel like in this one, there's definitely pronounced floral situations
going
on that I feel like I find that one, and knowing you, is it has a Japanese feel to it. The kind of the flora that's going through, flora and fauna through that painting.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's how you see it. I'm just going to let you do that.
Yeah.
But I would say that a lot of my life flows into my paintings. So, you know, I do watch a lot of Japanese animations. I go there a lot. So I think it naturally flows into the work. And it's funny you say flowers, because during lockdown I was buying a lot of flowers, so I'm not surprised that you might see those elements. But I think
your paintings, or just for...
No, just because I wanted some colour in my life.
Got it.
And I think that the way I paint, at least, but I think life flows very naturally into the work. If you see something every day, even subconsciously, it can be a part of the work. And I'm not going to lie, though, consciously in that painting, yes.
There is.
But the only reason why I wanted to say that is because I had gone to a flower shop on my high street. I'm not going to say where, so people can't find me.
Mm-hmm, no
but...
shoppers.
You still get the flowers.
Yeah. And I just started making my own arrangement. And I made one for the house and I made one for the studio. And I was working on this painting.
Can I just stop you there? What are you like at flower arranging? Are you a natural floral arranger, or is it a bit of a struggle?
I think that I am a natural Jade arranger.
Oh, I like that.
And I think if I like it, it's good enough for me.
Very good. Very good. Nice ethos, yes.
But I just had them on the table for a while, but in line with this painting. I'm going to mess up my own title, aren't I? There exists a glorious world, its name, The Land of Sustainable Burdens, that painting. For a while, these flowers were just in eyeline, and we call it my studio throne. It's just an armchair that I always sit in.
Your throne? I love that.
It's the people that helped me call it my throne. Cool. No, maybe I'm misquoting. I think I've called it my throne too. But...
Everyone else calls it a throne. I don't. It's just my big padded gold chair. It's just me.
Really casual.
Yes.
It makes me feel good about myself, so I call it a throne.
Love
but it's just a wonderful armchair. But I was sitting back in it for a while, and these these flowers that I'd arranged were constantly in eyeline with this work I was currently making. Mm. And the palette, and I think what was interesting, what I noticed is that the palette of the flower arrangement was the same as this painting. Nice. And I think that it can work both ways. You can have painting can flow back into your life too.
Memory.
Yeah, memory. Mm-hmm. Memory can flow back into your life too. And the positioning of these flowers on the table completely, they felt part of the painting. So I was like, yeah, they belong there.
There is a memory beyond the flowers in this as well. And colour invokes memory for you.
Yeah, I think colour invokes memory for me through a modelling of experiences, shall we say. I make a lot of decisions through colour, and I'm very picky about colour as well, you know. And so when I look at my paintings, the whole, like, concoction that's happening on the surface is a really intense, intertwined, like, pool of various memories. So I'm not even sure if I can extract, you know, very specific memories.
Oh, you can't. I was just about to ask you that. Can you look at that painting and feel a moment in your life? I know you got the flowers, obviously, from the studio, but beyond that, is there anything in there where you're like, that reminds me of this time, or that I know that feeling, or when that hurt, or that felt good?
I think what's interesting about the work is that no matter how much you try to, or how much you let memories flow into the work, they always collide with the present. But so the whole, to me, when I look at a painting that I've just made, it's not just about the past, it's also about now.
Right.
How do you perceive that time? How do you perceive all those elements that are going in now? And I think that's when they become quite reflective to me of myself. So I'd never look at a painting and think, oh, this reminds me of this time.
I think you will retrospectively these are a time capsule for your anxiety.
Definitely.
At the
that's
moment.
Interesting, though. So they're very, like, present works for you in many ways.
They're very present past. I'm not going to say future because I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. And you're right, I do describe my paintings as a diary of my life.
Yeah.
Mm. But you have to look at it retrospectively. And me, only been going for like 3 years now, it's not a lot. I'm not sure what I'm looking back at yet.
What is that like for you?
You're in it,
Jade.
I'm in
what
it.
Is that like for you, Jade, as only 3 years in the game and you're killing it and you have such attention on you and you are the youngest ever artist in the Tate collection? And What does that pressure do to you as an artist and as a person? How does that feel?
I think all you can do is just go with the flow.
Yeah.
I think that when I started this whole thing with my first show in 2017, I think it was now, you know, and it was only like 5 months or 6 months after graduating, I just did it. And then after that, things kept happening, really positive things. But because of that, I don't think I've ever really... It's never really sunk in. I just find myself going with the flow.
Yeah.
And I still am. And so I try not to think about it. I don't think it's important. I think pressure can only get to you if you start to overthink it. I'm not going to lie, there have been times where it can be a lot, but that's why I have help now. I think that you can't do everything on your own. There was a time when I was doing my own finances, all my emails, and painting. I only got help like a year ago. So,
right.
Yeah, but I just have my way of living through life, or at least the way what I learned from my first show and how I dealt with anxiety as well, is like you can't worry about something that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
And I had to really train myself to just release, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to do anything. And now I just get on with it. And maybe it's an even... Sometimes I wonder if I'm a bit of a workaholic now.
Well, you know what? And I keep saying this all the time, but sometimes work is more fun than fun.
Yeah.
And that came from Stephen Fry told me that, and it's a Noel Coward quote. Mm. And I think that it's true that work is fun. And if you are, like, in love with what you do, then how can it be work in some ways?
I mean, my work is my life. It literally is the way
and
I like process
your, you like
life.
Your paintings. Yeah. Like when you've completed
Did you
your...
you say I like my paintings?
You like your
no,
own
I
work.
Love my paintings.
Do you?
Yeah. Of course I love my paintings, but I also love myself, so...
Good.
Yeah.
So how do you feel, like, for example, this show, the works have all been placed. So how do you feel when they've gone to a new home and they're no longer yours, like, to have in your studio? Do they... I know you did keep one, though, which we can talk about, but how does that feel? Are you okay when you have to let them go?
You know, I think I got used to it. Also, when every work is so different, you kind of find you want to keep them all, and it's not...
Right. Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I see my paintings as my babies, and honestly, if I had, like... 100 babies, I'd get rid of them too. It's a lot to look
at.
It's a lot of things to look after. Yeah. A lot of babies to look after.
If you're it's a lot of driving around for clubs after school and stuff, isn't it? Yeah.
Maybe get rid of is harsh. What I mean is, like, I think that sometimes to move on, you need to let things go.
You keep work around, though, to kind of comment on the new work. You don't, like, clear your studio out. You have pieces there you're always referencing.
Yeah, because the way I paint is I respond to the last work I've done as well. So I like to have work in the studio. But I like to have work in the studio like I like to have plants in my studio. And I like to have cuddly toys in my studios.
Toys?
Yes, cuddly toys.
What cuddly toys have you got in your studio, Jada?
There's Panda.
What's the panda's name?
Panda.
Oh, nice, good.
And are these
good.
Are these
that's fresh?
Is Panda a Japanese toy?
Panda is not. Panda I've had since I was a kid.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so my mum wanted to get rid of our cuddly toys. And I'm like,
excuse me.
No.
Not happening.
They're coming with me. But even before that, I kept cuddly toys in my studio. And we have a rule with Panda. Panda's always on a chair. If you take Panda off the chair, then
off the throne or his own chair?
No, he has his own chair. I mean, I have a throne. if you take Panda off the chair, then you can join him on the floor. Like,
wow,
I treat cuddly toys with respect.
He's top of the pecking order, Panda. is Panda in any of these paintings anywhere?
I don't know.
Well,
you do know.
Can I say something? If we go to this painting here, I thought there was. I thought I saw.
Thought you saw a panda, did you?
No, here.
A panda in a throne.
I thought here in the orange there was like a little character poking through.
Yeah. There is characters. There is like figures and items of clothing. There I kind of see a pair of stilettos that have been left at somewhere in the middle of a field.
You do seem to project a lot into these works. I've never seen him project so much into work. It's fascinating, though, that they're that open for him to sort of have his own. You know,
you like that, though. You like people looking into your work. Like
I think openness is the most beautiful thing in life. Like, I think they're open to me as well. I also find myself constantly seeing new things, even though I painted them myself. And I think that painting can reveal a lot about ourselves. So every time you look at a painting and you think, oh, I'm seeing this, question why you see it. Because I think it reveals a lot about you.
Yeah.
And that's what I hope my paintings do for people, reveal a lot about themselves through my own experience.
Yeah, amazing.
What do you think these reveal about you then, your work?
What do they reveal about me? I'm intense. I don't know, actually. What do they reveal about me? I think the questioning is like ongoing. You know, I think that's easy. That's a really good question.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's
what... I mean, I've never met you until today, and my whole vibe of meeting you is what a positive, sort of vital human being you are.
You're a rock
like,
star.
You have incredible positivity, though, and kindness. And I feel that in the work, though. And there's a generosity in the work that I totally, like, connect with. I think it's really special.
And
it's interesting, because Russ was stood in front of that painting there that has this kind of central... shape of kind of like white, which Russ thought might be a bed or something. And Pippi was talking about it being a pillow. And it was really interesting, though, hearing you talk about it, because Russ was talking about like the past.
No, but I saw in the middle of this painting is the source of life, is the woman's genitalia. Maybe I'm seeing something.
No, I was like, what?
This symbol here, this motif in the middle here, to me, was like an abstracted version of the woman. And then you've got the body around the woman. So it has this kind of big voluptuous, and there's like fingers there on the legs. And then Pippi said, oh, no, but it's like there's like a pillow in there of a bed. And I'm like, wow, this bed has seen a lot of action. There is a lot.
You know, it amazes me the things that people see.
Yeah.
But no, Pippi's right. Like but the thing is, the way that she's talking about the pillow, it's just as a base. The pillow, there's a pillow that my partner, when we were first started dating and we were doing distance and on webcam, he always had this pillow behind him. And it just imprinted on my memory.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's there. So you didn't answer, though. You didn't answer. What did these reveal about yourself?
Or is that I think I thought about it, and I think that only someone else can tell me, actually. Mm. I don't think you can ever see yourself clearly. I think that's why I paint. I paint, so it's like I can't look at myself without a mirror. It's the same thing. So I guess these paintings are mirrors for me to kind of understand myself. But it also feels like a funny game, because I also believe that yesterday's me is not today's me. So I might see myself for a brief moment. And that's why I write, because I have moments where I'm like, oh, I've got it.
What do you write?
I just let my thoughts spill on. I think a lot.
Yeah,
I
same.
Just let everything pour out wherever
you
I
improvise
can.
On the page, basically, in a monologue.
Yeah.
Your interior.
Yeah, I have internal monologues and external. Yeah.
that's exactly what I do when I write.
Is writing something you want to explore further then?
I just go with the flow, honestly.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, and I'm willing to share it. I don't know what you mean by go further, though.
Well, I don't know. Like, do you have ambition to like write a book or
write a song and record it? Or
I mean, yeah, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, why not? I mean, yeah. I think I did do a piece of writing called Imagination that is coming out on radio with Peer and
Peer Gallery, where you had a show. Yeah.
Oh, it's called. Start that one again.
Yeah, go on.
I did a piece of writing called Imagination, and it's going to be. I recorded myself reading it out, and it will be shared. It's called Studio Audio. I think Phila De Barlo and a few other artists are in it.
Oh, great.
And it's a collaboration between Peer and Ica. I hope I've got that right.
Right, so where can people hear this then?
It comes out at the end of the month.
Right.
And is it online?
I guess. That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, we can find out, and we will. Yeah, once we find out, we will post on our Instagram.
Yeah.
So when did you first start actually making like work? Did you draw as a child, or have you always been creative in that sense?
When I was a kid, I did enjoy drawing. I only drew hippos, or I designed my fashion line for the far, far future. This is when I was like 5 or 6.
You didn't draw the panda, you drew a hippo.
Yeah, hippos are my favourite animal.
How did panda feel about that?
No, huh?
How did panda feel about that?
Panda just got to get on with his life.
Yeah, yeah. Panda's got a deal.
Exactly. Hey,
you're my panda, but I'm drawing hippos.
But
deal
why,
with that.
Why are hippos your favourite?
I think I got it when I was born. I have a cuddly toy called Teddy, and she's a very small hippo.
Oh.
And she is and was my best friend.
Yep.
And, you know, at some point I started like just collecting more hippos because I believe Teddy needed more friends. And I think when you're that close to something, you know, it becomes a part of you. That's why I love hippos so much.
Is Teddy in your studio?
Teddy's sometimes in my studio, sometimes in my bed. She can come wherever, she can fit in my bag.
So yeah. Good. And you began drawing hippos, and then that led...
This was
led,
when I was like 5 yeah,
when
or
you were 5. Yeah, but then...
This wasn't 2 years ago.
No, but I'm just intrigued because the paintings to me feel like drawing has influenced the painting as well. And I feel like with your new body of work, I know that there is like a kind of oil stick crayon that was a new development in it. So for me, you know, having experienced this exhibition today, that's I've been thinking a lot about drawing.
Yeah, so actually... You know, until I only started drawing intensely when I got back from Japan in 2016. Mm-hmm. I went there for exchange, but then I drew heavily during lockdown. Like my first month was only drawing.
Really?
Yeah, with pastels.
On paper or?
Yeah, in these little notebooks. I have quite a few of them now, and they were just... Now I feel like they're anxiety. When I look back, I was just obsessed with this motion of going back and forth with something in my hand. And so when I came back to the studio, I still needed that movement in my life, and it didn't feel as natural with a paintbrush. So I was just like, why not just pick up the pastels and put them straight onto the canvas?
I guess there's a correlation with the writing, the interiority again, just getting it out. Having to leave your body and have it as an exterior existence.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I say they were a form of anxiety, probably. Who knows? But I don't think that's a bad thing either.
I think, you know, as artists, you channel whatever it is in the world is happening, yeah. And anxiety is a big kind of like medium for all of us right now.
But also, did you have anxiety from the idea that, because with lockdown when it first came, none of us knew what it meant. So you must, as an artist, if you're painting a lot, yeah. No, but I'm talking about, it's gone now, like the first experience we had of a lockdown. Yeah. What I mean is, were you thinking, oh, I'm not going to be able to go to the studio, I'm not going to be able to make my paintings? So maybe that was...
I think my anxiety was, what if tomorrow I get a call and one of my family members aren't okay?
Right, right.
Like, it was more that I'd never experienced that before. And as time went on, I felt, I think I adapted, and I think we're all trying to at least adapt if we can. But it's when I reflect now that I would call that period an anxious state that I couldn't really... relate. I just couldn't see it at the time because I was enjoying drawing so much, but it allowed me to get that energy out. But then as drawings themselves, they were also the first time I worked with oil pastel, because they were just lying around in my house, and then they became this wonderful play on colour. So I got excited by oil pastels, and then I decided to order this whole set of pastels. I'm not going to say the name.
No, okay. Keep it close to your chest.
Oh, you found your perfect one, so you don't want them to like
be
jeopardized.
No. I was like, I hope Snellier will someday send me some free pastels, because I get through boxes and boxes. It's cool. So I just ordered a whole... I actually do recommend them a lot.
These pastel crayons, like, they were really important to you. Is it because of the vibrancy of the colours?
I think what it did is that... So in this set, there's between 200 and 300 different colours.
And you've got them all?
I've got a few boxes of the same colours over and over again. Yeah. And because, I wanted more colours, I was just like, okay, I'll go for the whole range. But what is wonderful is that when you have that many colours in front of you, it's instinctual to pick one up. And that's what it did. It opened up my palette. It opened my palette a lot. And that's why I think these paintings are so
any colours you've avoided? You've
any colours I'd avoided, or even I think the
no,
oil...
have you? Is there any...
Oh, are there any colours I've avoided? No.
You've used every single one of them colours at some point
at
somewhere.
At some point, yeah. Wow. And if I notice that the tip of one of the pastels is not yet worn down, so it's unused, I'll make sure to pick it up.
That's good.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it kind of opened up a new discovery for you with your palette. That's so interesting.
What does a success look like to you, and what does a mistake look like to you?
A success. What do you mean? A success in what context?
In the fact that you look at that painting and go, that's a successful painting. Or you look at that section, you go, that's a successful section.
Okay.
Or you look at it and go, that's a mistake. Do they exist?
Mistake, success, I don't know. It's quite either or, isn't it? I don't think it's either or. I know when I'm enjoying my painting.
How
when I
know?
Can't
what
stop looking
you know?
At my own work, right. I know it's energizing me. It's doing something. That's when I know when to stop. If I keep turning my head and I'm like, ooh, I don't even know what I'm ooing at. But I think I have the same experience of looking at my own work as others might do, because they are so open. I don't necessarily see them until they're done. And I don't know if I've ever really made a mistake, because I don't want to call them mistakes, because I've only figured out how to paint like this by accidents. And then trying to...
Happy accidents
and... working with them and trying to resolve them and realizing I don't need to resolve them, and they've actually become a decision. Yeah. So I don't know if I don't want to say I make mistakes, because I actually enjoy them, and I think they've made me understand a lot about painting.
Yeah. Amazing. The other thing I really connected to is the physicality of these works. And I heard that you paint them when they're on the wall already stretched, and you can really feel some sort of relationship to the body.
I was saying to you earlier, how do you define an action painter?
Oh, yes, exactly.
Would you say you're an action painter, the way that Jackson Pollock goes into trance-like state and it's very physical and there's a very performative energy?
It's very grand, isn't it?
I just think you're going to realise what kind of person I am when I tell you that I don't label myself. I don't want to define myself, because I think the work speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know... Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's my answer to that one. I can tell you how I paint, and then you can decide what I am from there. But I do think, because my work deals so closely with myself, whatever that is, that immediately I start to say it's something, I'm defining something I don't even know. So, Yeah, it's really open here.
So, oh, I love it.
But when I am working, I succumb to the paintings. I dance with them. I paint by touch. I paint by feel. Yeah, so there's a lot of movement, and I move a lot. I dance whilst I'm painting.
You can feel really? That. There's a lot of artists that do have musicality in their work. Mm. An artist comes to mind is Stanley Whitney, for example. Mm. He listens to jazz music, and he starts from the top, and it's like the colours reflect on the other colour, and they interpret the other colour through the music, so it has a jazzy tonality to them that you can feel. And your work, you can feel that you are having a really good time.
It's always fun. Yeah. I have the best parties in my studio of my own.
So cool. They do feel very all-consuming. Like, I can imagine that when you're making a work, that is the only thing in the world
it's
you are thinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in the sense that, whereas I feel some artists might sort of take a break and go and sit down and do something else and then go back to a painting. But with you, I feel like I don't know this for a fact, but like they feel to me so like
intense. They start and they end in the same process.
Yes. So I say I have my one hip paintings, my two hip paintings, my three hip paintings. This refers to like the layering. And you know, there are a few one hip paintings in this show. That means they're done in one session, and then there are a couple that were done in three sessions. But I think really quickly, like I can't.
You trust your instincts.
I trust my instinct because I also move on so quickly as well. I need to.
Do you turn them ever? Do you ever turn
always,
them?
Always. Yeah.
Do you? Really?
Yeah, I rotate them whilst I'm working. Sometimes I don't, but it's more often that. I mean, sometimes you need a fresh perspective. Yeah. Sometimes when I'm working, I start to see things.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that familiar with my work until it's done, you know?
Yeah.
So I just disrupt that by turning them around.
Who are your art heroes?
My art heroes.
Just, is Cy Twombly someone that you look to?
You
his
know,
line making and.
I do like Cy Twombly, but I wouldn't call him my hero.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. You know what? I'm about to embarrass myself. No, don't
no,
worry.
No, not at all.
No,
don't
no,
worry.
No, 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 no.
Do.
There's no pressure.
Please do. You embarrass yourself. I'm your hero. Is that what you're going to say?
You wish.
You've got to join the queue. who's. You know, it's obvious to me. It's Makiko Kudo.
Okay.
She's a Japanese painter. I think she shows with Tomio.
Why would you be embarrassed about saying her name?
No, no, no. I didn't answer the question in the end. I was going to ask a question that would reveal something that I think I got away with, so it's fine.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But, definitely Makiko Kudo, because I've been looking at her work endlessly for a lot of years. I don't remember when I first discovered her, and I talk about her a lot because, honestly, she's the only person that I can look at every single day and not get bored of.
And you have her work up, like posters of her work or prints of her work in your
studio? I actually have one of her works.
Do you?
It's very tiny,
cool.
Very, very tiny. It's like 30 centimetres by 30 centimetres, but I get to see it every day in my house and it's magic.
Congrats, that's amazing.
Yeah, and then I have her books and so forth. I think I only have two books. But her palette, I never get bored. It's all the colours. She has a wonderful way of looking at colour and piecing it together. And she always gives me challenges, I think. I've always wondered, how do I isolate an area of colour? It's like one of the things that frustrates me all the time. How do I not let things overlap so much?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it really matters at the end of the day. I think she's like a pushing force for me.
Wow.
And I got to meet her as well, and she's so sweet and lovely, and I love that when you meet an artist.
Does she wear your work as well?
She knows. She knows my work now.
Does she have your work?
Does she have my work? I don't think so.
Right.
I'd gladly swap for work.
Yeah, good trade.
Thing is, when you say things, they can happen.
Yeah. So I know.
That's a good thing to assert.
I've been really wanting to. I was meant to go to her studio when I was in Tokyo, and then it didn't happen because, you know, things happen. But I would love one day to, like, if she loves my work and I love her work, who knows what could happen.
So cool.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, we saw today an edition that you made for a UN women's charity.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of the most extraordinary things I've seen. And I was so impressed by the detail of it and the kind of complexity of it as an edition, because this edition is made out of fabric.
Yes.
And it seems like it's hand sewn almost. But it's just the most extraordinary, like, it looks like
objects,
a painting, but in fabric, like, and it is stunning.
Oh,
and I also learned a bit about what you've done with iPads, and that you've used iPads to help inform the layering, particularly in that edition. Can you talk a bit about that whole process?
So for that edition, I used tracing paper and the iPad. I use iPads when I'm working all the time. Not unless I don't need to. Less so for a one-hit painting. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, I use the iPad to try as many different layers as possible. So if it's not a layered work, it's unlikely I'll use it. But
But you were you'll transfer the iPad painting into your second hit painting or third hit painting.
Oh, so what I do is when I get to it, I make my first layer. The moment I sit down, if I find myself hesitating,
yeah,
I take a picture of the painting,
yeah,
and then Procreate on the iPad. I just play with some layers and hide them
and colors.
Yeah, and colors and so forth. And what I really enjoyed about it was that it made me try different things.
Yeah.
Because my instinct sometimes can be to choose a color, but you know, when you have transparent layers on the iPad and you can just, you know, erase and put back, then you never know what other options are out there. So
but
that's
how many times have you gone as the iPad image that you've created, you're happy with, then became a painting?
I mean, I use it a few times in between. So I'll just put a color on top, be like, okay, that's okay. Go up, do it, take another photo, go back. If I need it, if I want it, if I want it.
Yeah, so it's like a tool.
Yeah,
like,
but it's very rough. It's very, very rough.
Oh, I love
it's
that.
Like just quick blurs of colour.
It's you and David Hockney claiming the iPad, aren't you?
Yeah. It's like a kind of sketch or something. That's quite interesting. So it's a way of, freeing up your creativity.
Yeah, and I just, I don't like to hesitate. I feel like it's so important for my paintings to just be. And so sometimes I'm wondering, am I stepping back because I can't do more? Am I stepping back because I'm overthinking it?
Mm.
Sometimes when you are overthinking things, you can just let that out on something else and get back to it.
I mean, this work here that I spoke about earlier, the thing that I love most about it is the way you've used the red. The kind of, it's almost like a punctuation.
That's a Cy Twombly element for me, the red motif in the top left-hand corner and the line making around that feel very, like there's a kind of childlike innocence in the
moment. I really don't see the Cy Twombly link.
Don't you?
Like, no, not at all. Like, not really.
But that's allowed, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
I'm not here to tell anyone how to see anything.
This one we're talking about is called Cavernous Resonance 2020, and it's oil stick and canvas, 170 by 180 centimetres. So titles mean a lot to you.
Oh, yes, they do.
So that's your writing then?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, my words are my title and my writings. But I would say, you know when you asked me earlier, what was your question? I think you asked me something like, do I reflect? Can I see who I am? It doesn't matter. I think that was one.
What do your paintings say about you?
Do your paintings say about you? Thank you. Like, I think my titles are that process.
Right.
Like, when I'm working and titling can happen at any stage. It can happen in the middle of working or at the end or while after finishing the work. But what's really important about them is that they are my associations with the work, and I feel like they reveal a lot to me. I reveal a lot to myself through titling my works.
And afterwards they're titled?
And after
you've painted them?
Yes.
You don't know the title before you're going into the painting?
No, I don't.
And do you like the fact that they're cryptic? For an audience, like there's one here that's called as you said earlier, There Exists a Glorious World. Its name, The Land of Sustainable Burdens 2020, or Birthday, Death Day 2020. There is a crypticness to the titles, you quite like an audience having to work that out.
I mean, honestly, I don't think about an audience when I title my work.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, I do it for myself. These are all very selfish paintings. that are very open for people. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's a conscious...
Well, no, because Russell's coming from a different perspective anyway, because he's an actor. So for him, the audience is there when he's performing. But I think when you're an artist, it's incredibly private and intimate and personal world in a way. So maybe that's...
Yeah. I have a chuckle at the things that come to mind when I'm making a painting. And the titles that come afterwards, because, yeah, you're right, I'm quite crazy.
But I was going to say about this work, why was this? Because I believe this is the one that you're keeping for yourself, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Which, A, I'm so happy you're doing, and I think every artist listening to this, remember to keep some of your works back, because otherwise they all just disappear and then they're never yours, and I think it's important to have that reference. But this is my favourite painting in the show.
Thank you.
And there's something about the red in the top corner, and I just... Can you speak about a bit about this work and what it means to you?
This painting, what should I speak about?
Well, just why you chose to keep this one.
Oh, why I chose to keep it. Yeah. I try to keep the paintings that surprise me.
Interesting.
So I keep, if I can, I will hold back a work that, you know, really defined the rest of the works to follow. I did the same with a painting called When Teddy Left, which is in the which was in my RCA degree show, and that painting is constantly in my studio. I can always see it because it surprised me. It frustrates me because I don't get how it came about, which might sound silly because I'm the person that made it. But you'd be surprised when you really get sucked into something. Mm. You're not a spectator to yourself.
It's exposing.
Right.
It's
so sometimes things can appear like apparitions, and you're like, how did that appear? Interesting.
So I kept this painting because it is the painting that helped me understand my enjoyment of pastels, and it came before all of these.
What came first here in this room?
Can we go up close to it?
Okay.
Because I just wanted to, on this one, like the pastels, the way that you've actually used them, Pippi was talking about how you almost like pushed the paint across the canvas with the pastels. Is that, because it sounds like such an interesting thing. I don't know, sorry, just on like a material level. But.
So, yeah, I just, honestly, I'm having a lot of fun when I was making it.
Really?
But it was the first time I enjoyed the involvement of pastel within a work. So yeah, the works will be wet and I can work into them, I can work afterwards. I think this work, it had a few different stages to it. It wasn't a one-hit painting. But actually, you know what is interesting, actually? The underpainting of this work was a work that I had started before lockdown that was nowhere near becoming something yet. I'd been to Milan recently, and I don't know if you can see the stripes. I got this amazing skirt there. And so I'd gotten back from Milan, and I was like, oh, this skirt is just on my mind. There's something about the colors and the patterning that I just want to bring in to the start of this work.
Well, almost like a tartan or something?
No. It's just stripy, but it's knitted.
Wow.
And it is...
Did you buy it?
Of course I bought it.
The fashion is so important to you, isn't it? You have
clothes hanging in the studio as well.
Yeah.
You wear them, but you also involve them in the work.
Yeah, I do. And it was a wonderful, I think it was a Miu Miu skirt. Yes, it was.
Okay. Makes sense with Milan.
And it just, when I bought it, I was, you know when you, it's just like when you go to see a show and you can't stop looking at that one work. Yeah. I feel like that with clothes sometimes.
Yeah.
I just think they're a form of art as well.
100%. We're exactly the same.
Also, like Miu Miu and Prada, I think Mitra Prada is an artist.
He walked me around Isabel Marant today, and then we're trying on stuff, and then Marnie as well. He's like,
oh, yeah, I love Marnie.
Yeah.
Right. Love it.
And funnily enough, this is the painting in the show that I kept going back to.
You were
talking about that thing with the skirt.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I had with this work.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's the fashion element, and you love a stripe, Rob.
I do love a stripe, yeah.
So this paint, so I had started this, lockdown happened. Maybe I went somewhere else as well before lockdown that made, I hadn't meant, I, it was in a state where it's like 20% done.
Mm. Yeah.
So it hadn't really come into life yet.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what, let me use this as a base and see what comes out of it. So it feels like a hybrid in some ways because it kind of reminds me of, you know, I was in Milan on in February, and then the whole news came out about the cases, and it it evokes something weird for me for that reason, because I can see that palette from that skirt every time I look at this painting.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
Have you had a photograph in the skirt next to this painting?
No, I won't wear the skirt.
Oh, you won't wear the skirt? So you collect fashion?
Oh, yeah, I collect. I might wear a few things. I own more clothes than I can wear, honestly. And
But you treat them like objects of art that you put, like, display.
Nice. Yeah.
You display them?
Yeah.
On like, hangers or on mannequins or...?
On hangers, on the floor, on the side, anywhere. I'm quite a messy person. I wouldn't say they're, you know, beautifully distributed around my space.
I love that.
But
so you've got an archive of, like,
we're making one
capsules.
Now because I have so many, because the way I buy is not necessarily always to wear. I collect clothes, I guess. I thought I was hoarding.
Yeah,
no, but I have the same thing. So many seasons is like a capsule collection.
Yeah.
Then you've got resort, then spring.
But sometimes
I've
bought jackets that I've never worn.
Yeah, yeah.
That I love the fabric so much on it. And I remember Tracy Emin saying to me, like, you need to go into a textiles degree, because she was like, you keep posting zoom ins of your fabric. And I totally relate to that.
And cushions and rugs.
And cushions and rugs and quilts
and
upholstery.
So when lockdown started and I wasn't going shopping as much, I do most of my shopping abroad. I started buying a lot of rugs, so now I have a rug collection.
I've got a rug fetish as well.
But I have to admit, I've only bought rugs from this one person, and he keeps sending me images. I'm like, I'm not going to buy another rug. And I'm like, oh, but the colours. And
like,
then I have to get another rug.
So, are they kind of like Berber style, or are they... Yeah.
Oh, wait, Berber, sorry.
Berber style. So that
kind like of, Moroccan
like thick
kind of
Moroccan.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because they have different markings through them.
Exactly.
Like diamonds.
So that the person that I buy them from is called Art Moroccan Berber.
Right, right, right.
I have a lot of Moroccan rugs.
Yeah.
They must
you
love
know,
you.
There's a painter that I work with in America called Catherine Bernhardt, and she's based in St. Louis, and she's obsessed with Moroccan rugs, and she ended up marrying a guy whose family made all the Moroccan rugs.
Oh, wow.
And,
she had rug sales.
And she has rug sales in New York.
The
so
flying
I should,
rug.
I should put you in touch with her next
time
you're in New York.
All
she's wild.
Oh, no, you're starting. My habit is bad.
She would love your painting as well.
We're enablers.
Okay.
We are never apologize for enthusiasm. We will enable your enthusiasm.
We are going to enable it.
Can I just talk about your student days, how long ago that feels now, and how much of a journey you've been on, and what does it feel like being a success, and how do you think that feels with your year and everything? It's quite a...
What do you mean by my year?
Well, like people you're studying with.
Oh, I see. Wait, how do I feel as a...
What's my question? My question is like... So when you all study together, you all come up together, and your kind of star is rising.
Mm.
Did you feel when you were studying... Is there competition when you're studying as a student? Do you feel like support now? Do you feel like there's an element of something else?
I feel quite of an, I don't know, my way of enjoying art school, I felt like quite an outsider.
You did.
I felt like the way I think, the way I do things is a bit different. I don't want to say completely different. And so, you know, and I think I'm quite self-absorbed when I'm working anyway. I'm hesitant to say competition, because I think we all motivate each other, even if that can be described as rivalry. I don't know, but I wasn't competing with anyone. So, you know, I actually saw my friend the last week, and she was saying to me that I haven't changed, and that's amazing to her.
Yeah.
And I think this was my thing at school as well. The one thing I always protected was who I was or who I am. And I didn't really let how art school culture can be quite...
Define you.
Yeah, define me anyway. So when I left school, I got on with it because I had a show coming up in 6 months all of a sudden. But I wouldn't say that it felt... The only thing I noticed is that I wasn't seeing people as much. Yeah, and I miss my friends a lot, and feeling like I could just go out and just do, because I wanted to paint instead. I wanted it to be a good show. But I don't know how people felt towards me. You know, I think everyone has their own way of, you know, relating to a friend that's doing well or someone you know that's doing well. And I hope that it's only positive because I think we should all celebrate each other. I don't know.
Yeah, and like, yeah. And like help bring up your yeah, friends as well and
exactly.
like support them.
Yeah, yeah. My amazing. Friends can come to the gallery. They can, you know, some of my friends have met Pippi. Like it's, they sure. come to Cologne and met Gisela Capitan as yeah, well. Like yeah, it's yeah. not, I'm not someone to cut people off at
no,
all.
No.
Yeah.
You're trying to include everybody with you. Yeah.
If I can, nice yeah.
What about when you went to Japan then? Because I heard it was quite an isolating experience initially.
Oh, yeah.
And then you kind of embraced, like, being there and you kind
of... Dressing up, you embraced the fashion yeah. of
but I love this yeah. idea
Harajuku, didn't you?
I love
did,
Harajuku.
Did you grow up in South London first?
No, then... I grew up in East London where okay. it's like East London... In Ilford.
Ilford, okay.
Ilford, yeah.
My mum's from Ilford.
Your mum's from Ilford.
I was born in Romford.
You're born in Romford?
Yeah. My family's all in Billericay now. They moved a bit further out into the yeah. greener bits. But Harold Wood, Romford was
wow,
my,
yeah,
my
yeah.
end as
and
a
now
kid.
They live in Seven Kings. So I was in Ilford yeah. and Seven Kings yeah. growing up. Yeah.
Good Maze, Seven Kings,
yeah,
Ilford,
Good
Manor Park,
cool.
Forest Gate,
yeah,
Maryland,
yeah,
Stratford.
Yeah, wow.
Wow,
my
this is like a lesson.
Well, I just
in
used
East
to
London
ride
in
that train. I used to put so much train rage on that line because it would always be like,
yeah.
I did that one.
Delays.
Coming to see you and we stopped at about 15 yes. stops and I was like, I've never done yeah. this before. So yeah. you went from Ilford to Japan?
Oh
no.
Again, that's a quick leap.
What a leap, yeah. Ilford, Japan. It's really similar
culture. I was one
culture.
Of the stops on the train.
Really similar culture.
I went from Ilford to Bisley to RCA and through RCA to Japan.
Right.
But I had been to Japan once before I did that exchange. Uh-huh. And I think that contributed to what I expected from myself. But yeah, Japan was a really, that trip in particular, being there for 4 months, I think it was, revealed a lot to me about myself and my own frustrations with the world, myself. And yeah, I think I've defined it now. I think I've realized that I don't like the world's pace to hold me back, if that makes sense. I think that we are caught up in a lot of discussions about things that I wish had healed by now, and sometimes I just want to be me and not let the shackles hold me down in whatever way that might mean to people. But wait, where was I going with this?
I've Japan.
Lost. Oh yeah, Japan. So, but when I was there, I remember expecting to enjoy it because I'd been before. I had a good experience with the language then. It's better now.
Can you speak Japanese?
Maybe.
Will you give us a little bit of Japanese?
<Mm-mm>.
No.
Nanda. No. I'm embarrassed.
Well,
I haven't spoken it.
I don't blame you. I'd be embarrassed.
I haven't spoken
like...
it in, like, when did I last go? I don't even remember. January. I last was there in January. And I think, you know, I wouldn't say I'm fluent to the point that we can have a business conversation, but I can make conversation.
Yeah, small talk.
And I can have a conversation with someone in Japanese. I make mistakes, but I think you need to make them to learn it.
That's
so
impressive.
You just get on with it. But I think the reason why I'm nervous is because I think it's important to still have a teacher, and I haven't done, like, studied with someone in 8 months, so I just feel a bit...
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pressure you.
So how long are you actually there?
Which time? I've been, like, 7 times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that many times. Wow.
The time that you embraced the Harajuku
oh, yes.
style.
Yes, that's where we were going. That's where we were going with this. Yeah, so when I was there during my exchange, and I had expectations because I could speak the language a bit, and I'd been before, I was like, I've got this. And then, you know, homesickness kicked in, and also I pressured myself to enjoy it, but I actually became quite down. I had a great array of friends there, but I just didn't know how to feel comfortable. And you know, people might think, oh, is it because you felt like an outsider, like even racially? But actually, you know what, in Japan I love it because everyone's a foreigner, whether you're white, black, brown, it doesn't matter. You are still an outsider, and it's the first time I've been an outsider with everyone else too.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I love that element of it, but I felt like I felt frustrated at myself because I started spending loads of money. I was like, I have to change
it's
the way.
It's not like you, is it?
I have to change my fashion. And at the time, as a student then, I did not have money to spend. I remember thinking, oh no, I've got to call daddy again. I remember feeling uncomfortable and I didn't know how to feel comfortable in myself. I wanted to enjoy it, but I wasn't enjoying it, which frustrated me, which made me buy more things.
Yep.
And then I
Rob,
was...
you know this feeling.
And then I was noticing myself doing this and then being harsh on myself for it as well.
Yeah.
So I just went downhill with, like, maybe my mental health, we can say it now. But yeah, I was quite upset whilst I was there, but also enjoying it at the same time. And I think it was also because I was experiencing this and I was making paintings that I hated as well. They were a really good stepping stone, but at the time when I was there, I was like, oh my God, I've got to go back to the RCA and graduate in 5 months, and I'm making work that does not even say anything to me right now.
How do you feel about that work now, and is it still around?
Is it still around? It might be rolled up in my studio somewhere.
And you haven't looked at it since?
No.
Okay. Interesting.
But then my tutor took me to, or he wasn't my tutor actually, he was one of the tutors on the course. He actually shows with Takayoshi Gallery. I'm gonna, because I call him Hulky Sensei, I keep forgetting what his full name is, but I think it's Nobuya Hulky Sensei.
Okay.
I'm really sorry if it's not. But he took me to his studio with another one of my peers, and he has, his personality is, it's contagious.
Infectious.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And I just remember being in his studio and I was thinking, wow, these paintings make so much sense with who you are. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to see myself, because I can't see myself at all in the midst of this downward spiral that I was experiencing. And that's when I started thinking a lot about character, and I've always loved paint. You'll find me like touching my paints, and you think I'll be in a relationship with my paintings the way I caress them. But but I remember thinking, I want my paintings to reveal more to me and be more me. How do you make a painting that's really yours? That was like my goal. But it didn't, this sounds like a romantic story, but after that, I just went further down and got more upset. I was like, but it's not easy, is it? It's not easy to do. How can, especially because I didn't know myself at the time. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the end and I locked myself in my room for 3 days. I think I watched Girls, the
Love
series.
Girls. Good. Yeah. Good choice.
And I started drawing, and I was drawing whilst watching the series. I was going back and forth between the series, and everything that was going to the drawings were the things that I was most frustrated that I had let myself, or no, that's the wrong way to put it. The things that I had latched onto in order to comfort myself that were now frustrating me, I just was like, I'm putting them all in these drawings. And, you know, I actually, it's funny that this show has come from hundreds of drawings, not as in the paintings come from the drawings, but they were the starting point. Because before that trip to Japan, I barely drew as well.
And they've become the foundation of your practice.
I don't know if they're the foundation or they just are a part of it.
Yeah.
Because I still paint the way I used to. It's always intuitive or instinctual to some degree. You know, I just leap for it. I paint when I need to the most. But when I was doing these drawings and, you know, and I was watching the series and I was pausing the series and going back to this series, one of the things I used to get frustrated by myself was how distracted I am. I can't focus on one thing. And then I remember, but then when I was doing this, when I was going back and forth, I came out with 30 drawings in a language that I didn't even realize existed, because I wasn't really, you know, thinking about it too
brilliant.
Much. And I was just like, well, there I am. And then I thought, you know what, this thing that I thought was a problem might be actually something to embrace. And so I got back to the RCA and I was like, I'm just going to jump into my paintings like I jump into my drawings, and I'm going to work faster. I'm not going to work slower. I'm going to work faster because I think fast and I can't concentrate longer than is necessary.
That.
So, and then I started to think, wow, have I been beating myself up for being me and defining things as flaws because the world makes me feel like, you know, there are things that are good and bad? No.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what was happening. And I was like, I'm going to reject all of that. Why do we live in this binary world where it's like either or,
yep.
you know? And once I started to celebrate the things I thought were flaws, this is how my painting career started, if you want to call it a career.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, because I think that's such an interesting thing, though, as an artist, that you sometimes, like, people have to hit almost like a rock bottom or something. Like, you try to make your work, might not feel like you yet, but it can happen. You just have to sort of keep going, I think, because that's a beautiful story, though.
So we ask every guest that comes on two very important questions, which you should know.
Yes, I do.
As a listener, your homework. Love that.
The first question we ask is, if you could do an art heist, if you could steal any work of art in the world, whatever it is, wherever it is,
and it can be as big or small,
you
or
can have it for yourself.
I'm
what
so
would it be and why?
I'm so frustrated at myself. Sorry, I interrupted your question, because
is that why you're frustrated? Because you interrupted me?
I think it was like the other week I was listening to... I don't know which one it was, maybe Wolfgang Ting. No, it doesn't matter. But I was thinking, I know it's going to come up. I should decide now. Yeah. But because I was listening whilst I was painting, I forgot in an instant, and I just got on with the painting. And now I haven't thought of my answer. I'm like, I had a chance. Let me have a think now. In any collection around the world?
It can be anything.
But is it a painting?
Yeah, it can be a building. It doesn't have to be an artwork.
It could be like a temple in
something
Japan.
Something that you would steal and take home.
Whoa.
And it can be giant or tiny or...
Oh, dear. Do I have time to think?
Or it could be fabric. It could be
Jade's dancing at the moment while you're... You're grinding your legs into the floor.
Beautiful performance.
Trying to find it's got to come to me.
Your Doc Martens as well. I love those.
Oh, thank you. I have two pairs of these.
They're killer.
Of course you do. You can't just have one. Yes,
no, you can't just have one. No, you've got to have your studio ones in your...
Yeah, you need a studio one. Yeah, you need your best ones and your work ones. Yeah. Absolutely, yes.
Although these are becoming...
Well, anyway, let's ask the next question while you're thinking
about
that.
Yeah, let me have a think.
The other question we ask every guest is, which is actually going to be quite challenging for you, I think, is what is your favourite colour?
Green.
Oh, it wasn't.
Straight in.
Yeah.
Wow. And why green?
It's been my favourite colour.
So this green one here, the stained glass window style?
Yeah, that looks like a stained glass window, that one. That's what we're talking about.
Is that one of your favourites in the show?
Oh, I don't like things just because they're green.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. What, are you asking me what my favourite in the show is now?
No. We're going back to...
Your favourite colour is green.
Let's go back to the...
Yeah, my favourite colour is green, and that hasn't changed since I was a kid. When I was like three, I'm going to get the age wrong, but I had a favourite green coat. As a kid, and it was green.
A piece of fashion again.
That's never changed. And it's funny because people would say, "Oh, purple must be your favorite color. Pink is your favorite color because you use them so much." Mm-hmm. But my favorite color isn't the one that I use the most. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I haven't thought about that one yet. But green, 100%. That has never changed.
Is the first painting you made from this series in this room, and is the last painting you made in this series in this room?
What was it? Mm-mm. No, not the last. First? No, not the first.
Not the first. Yeah. Not the first or the last. Yeah. So we've got all the middles.
You got all the middles.
That's the best bit, isn't it? Yeah. The filling.
Exactly.
I imagine the last would be informing your next series. So in a way, the last shouldn't be in here. Mm-hmm. But the first, in a weird way, could be in here because there was a painting under that one, which is like a pre-lockdown painting.
Oh, yeah.
So in a sense, it's there, kind of. And again, it's the one you kept.
That's true.
I'm so happy you kept that, because I hope I get to come to your studio one day and see it there, because I love it.
And will you answer then? Do you have a favourite in this show?
Do I have a favourite in this show? No, I think it changes all the time.
What is it
but
today?
But recently, I can't stop looking at this small red one. I was here, this one here, Vital Abundance, because, I don't know, recently I just noticed a lot more about it. Do I have a favourite? Wait. I want to say the favourite's the one I kept, but that's not true either. I love them all equally, like my own children.
I get that, though, because I feel like... They are. I think you would shift with them as well.
Yeah.
Like they are. They're all great, really.
Well, I think all of our listeners are going to absolutely fall in love with you and be inspired by you.
Yeah, we love you. I'm so glad we've met.
Honestly, follow your trajectory as it soars and soars.
I'm a big fan of you too, though.
Thank you so much for coming on. Yeah.
I didn't answer your question though, and I haven't thought about
it. What one was that?
The one where you asked me about my art heist.
Yeah, but it could be like it could be an item of clothing. Is there like an item of clothing you love?
Or a what?
An item of clothing.
Who's your
like
favourite designer?
Or it could
like
be anything.
An Alexander McQueen like outfit or
oh, you know what? Sometimes I think for how much I love fashion, I don't know a massive amount of it. Either.
If you could only be dressed in one brand for the rest of your life,
that's a horrible question,
what would it
Russell.
Be?
Marnie.
It would be Marnie.
Really?
Marnie. Yeah, I love Marnie. This coat's Marnie.
That your sweater's Marnie, isn't it?
No.
Yeah. Isabel every Marant. Time I go
no,
abroad.
This is Isabel Marant. But I used yeah. to. I have
he's got
wardrobes
so much Marnie.
Yeah,
full
yeah.
of Marnie.
It's my favorite. I got to go to the show in Milan.
I went as well.
Oh,
not,
you were
not,
there?
Not, no, not the same one as you. But yeah. I used to go when Consuelo Castiglione was running it
because
he spent
the
was still
most
there.
Out of any Mao. On Marnie in this country, they used to give him perks and fly in places.
Because wow. I was like the biggest customer, because I was obsessed for about a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, now it's run by a different guy, but I love Marnie. I mean, Marnie's genius.
Marnie just is. That's the one thing I collect the most, I'd say.
So maybe your coveted art heist is Marnie going forward forever.
The keys.
Everything they make.
The keys to Marnie.
Everything they own, give yes. it to me.
No, the Marnie Empire. You want the Marnie Empire, basically.
Oh, no, but there was an artist. The artist you mentioned earlier, you wanted one of her paintings.
You've got one.
I've got one, though. Yeah. And then sometimes I think the things I want aren't things, but to meet people.
Oh, go on.
But then I've met them too now.
Yeah, but who would
I met Laura Ahrens, and that was really wonderful.
Where did you meet her?
In LA. I went with my friends for a trip, and then my German gallery, Gisela Capitan, put me in touch, and that's when we met the first time. And then she came to my studio last year for Freeze.
Wow.
And that was really wonderful.
So that's an art hero then?
One of, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's great. Good. I love Laura Ahrens. I think
right?
she's one of the greats
yeah,
of our time.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, really amazing. And I think she's a really good person. I'm a big fan.
So, Jade, what is next for you?
Well, in March, I have my show with Takeshi Gallery.
2021, March 2021.
Oh, yeah. March 2021.
Yeah.
Yes, with them. It'll be my first show with them since I started working with them. But then I have the biannual as well that got postponed, the Liverpool biannual.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the is Liverpool that new work for that yeah. show? Or is that...
It's actually loaned work, but I'm going to be making one work for it as well.
Very good.
And then I have, not sure which order, I have the show with Hepworth Wakefield.
Why?
Wow. Yeah, this is all next year?
Autumn 2021.
You've got a busy year coming up.
And then wait.
Yeah.
and then I have ICA Miami as well.
Wow. A solo there?
In their project space, yeah.
Wicked. That's going to be incredible.
Yeah, it's a busy year coming
and
up.
And how cool, you're going to do a show in Tokyo.
I know, I'm so excited.
Takeishi's amazing gallery. Yeah.
That is so yeah. many episodes of Talk Art you're going to be listening to while well. You're making all them paintings.
Aww.
You got to make more. I'm going to catch up at some
we've
point.
We've recorded another 15 or something. There's lots more coming. We're going to keep you in
we
the
are,
game
we
in the studio.
We are as obsessed with fashion and painting as you are. Well, no, we are obsessed with Talk Art as you are with fashion and painting. So it's compulsive, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. You. For everybody listening to this podcast, you can visit our Instagram at TalkArt, where you will find images of all the paintings that we are currently surrounded by. And are you on Instagram?
Oh, yes, I am.
And what is your hashtag? Not hashtag, sorry. What is your
handle? My name
handle.
Is
what is your handle?
Jade Fadagissimi, no space, no accent. That's it.
Amazing. Jade, thank you. We love you. And it's actually been amazing to spend sort of 3 hours sat with your paintings.
Has it been 3 hours? That was
yeah,
quick.
We got
3 hours?
No. Well, this
oh,
has
no,
been
I
an hour.
A conversation. I'm like, what?
No.
Oh, yes.
It's like 3 o'clock in the morning out there. We missed the curfew. Everyone's like, they're coming to get us.
Everyone's gone home.
No, anyway,
we're going to do some pictures now for the content. Yeah. And, yeah.
We'll be back very soon.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diamond and Russell Tovey.
Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in today's episode, with music by Jack Northover.
Subscribe to Talk Art at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts.
Give us a rating and write us a comment. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Taylor Cetus.
Hey,
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.